Joe Stazak on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, as promised on the Comcast Business Hotline, he's my podcast partner. You can check us out on YouTube, Callis Remarks with Joe Stazak and Steve Callis. He's the great Steve Callis. Hello again, Steven. How are you, my man?
All good, Joe. Tough crowd tonight. Trade them all, no? Get rid of them all.
Blow it up, man. Blow it up. You know, I get the frustration. I do. I totally do. But I also know we overreact. I don't think it would have made much a difference with Ben Simmons because I just don't believe in this team. I think they have way too many problems, including the head coach. Your thoughts through three games, what you've seen from the 76ers?
I think it would have made a little difference because we talked last week before the series started that, you know, who was going to guard Jason Tatum without Ben Simmons there? When Ben Simmons guarded him during the regular season, Tatum shot 28% from the field. When he didn't guard them, Tatum shot 50 or 51% from the field. That's a big difference. And then the other question was, who's Al Horford going to guard?
Uh-oh. You there, brother? Having some trouble. Try back, Steve. Having some trouble on the Comcast Business Hotline. Wanted to hear what he had to say about Al Horford because I'm really done with Al Horford. 6 points last night. I know he had 10 boards, I believe. $97 million over 4 years. Way overpaid for Al Horford. You know, he was good with the Celtics, but he is a true center. He's been playing power forward. Him and Embiid in this playoff series have really tanked. They're a minus 35, like I mentioned. During the regular season, minus half a point. That's a big delta. 35 points, big delta. So those two haven't played very well. Al Horford hasn't played very well. I was a little surprised he was on Jason Tatum and not Matisse Thybulle last night. Again, that was a little bit of a curious maneuver. Brett Brown said he's been in 12 playoff series. It wasn't much of a decision. He's a grizzled veteran, and I wanted him out there last night. But again, you know, who cares? He's 32 years old. He obviously can't cover Jason Tatum. And Matisse Thybulle, aside from Ben Simmons, is probably your best defensive player. So he makes a lot of curious decisions. Okay, I'm sugarcoating it. I think a lot of bad decisions, and I think it's time for, you know, a new man at the helm. Let's go back to Steve. Steve, what's up, man? You were talking about Al Horford. Sorry about that. Your phone cut out.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. That was me. You know, there was no one for him to guard, but the last guy he could guard is, you know, Jaylen Brown or Tatum or someone like that. And that's the problem. Last year, you know, he was guarding who? Joel Embiid. And he got a better chance to do a good job there. And the other problem, of course, is Embiid down the stretch. He tried to make that ill-advised, I'll say, cross-court pass. That's a very difficult pass to make. And, you know, you had Marcus Smart, one of the best defenders in the NBA, between Horford and whoever he was throwing the ball to. And then, of course, you know, if we're going to just get down to specific plays, on the fast break now, Tatum's alone. Richardson grabs him from behind, an obvious clear path foul. They get two shots. They get the ball. They go from up one to up four. If you let the guy just go in and dunk it, you're up, you're down three, but you got the ball and you're down
right,
three. It's the one possession game. After you make that clear path foul, which is never a good play because of the way they made the rules now, Joe, two foul shots and the ball, you're just hurting your team on any clear path foul. You're not doing anybody any favors. Maybe the worst foul shooter in the world you might do that for, but they're getting the ball back anyway.
Yeah.
So Tatum made one of two to go up two. Then poor Al Horford trying to guard Kemba Walker on a switch. Good luck with that. Then they're down four, under a minute. You know, game's pretty much over. So it's a little bit coaching. It's a little bit there's no one for Horford to guard on the Celtics. And, you know, Embiid in the first half, he's fantastic. In the second half, he runs out of gas. 57 points in the first half, 33 points in the second half, 59% shooting in the first half, 30% shooting in the second half. Obviously, a few things. Is he really, really, really in top shape? And even if he is, he's carrying such a bigger load. Without Simmons, these are the kinds of stats you get. So you can't knock him, I don't think. And we'll see if he can keep, you know, I don't want to sweep on my resume. We're going to win the next game type of thing. But you're not winning the series. And I'd frankly be surprised if they win game four because the Celtics have just too many good basketball players.
Yeah,
very good basketball players.
I agree. I think they're done. I still don't think they should blow it up, but they need better complementary pieces around your two cornerstones. Let's talk a little hockey, brother. Flyers, Carter Hart gives up 10 goals in 6 games. Carey Price gives up 5 goals in the first 4 games, and the Flyers are up 3-1, and their big guns haven't gotten going yet. What do you think about this matchup with the Islanders? I know we're both Barry Trotz fans. Of course, we love Elaine Vigneault and what he's done with this team in one short season. How do you like this matchup for the Flyers?
I think it's a very tough matchup. It's going to be tougher than Montreal. Give Montreal credit. They're a good young team. But the Islanders and Trotz, you know, they got these guys you never heard of, Anders Lee, Bevolier. I mean, these guys are very solid hockey players. But most important, they're excellent defensively. I did want to say this about Carter Hart, though. For him to get pulled with 2:03 left in the second period of Game 2 after giving up 4 goals and to come back and shut Montreal out in Game 3 and shut Montreal out in Game 4, I never recall that ever happening in the playoffs where you pulled the goalie and he came back with not one but 2 shutouts back-to-back.
Amazing.
That, to me, is an incredible accomplishment. We talked about it after Game 2. This Game 3 was going to be a big test for him, and he passed it with flying colors. So the goalie we've been talking about the Flyers looking for what now? 3, 4, 5 years? They finally got him. He's here to stay. Mental toughness is unbelievable. He's also, by the way, I don't know if you saw the stat, Joe, he's the youngest goalie ever to win a series-clinching game in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the history of the NHL. That's a gigantic statement. So I thought they played really well against Montreal. Montreal was a tough opponent. But I think the Islanders are going to be tougher, and we'll just have to see what happens. I think Philly can win. I think it's going to be very tough. But look, Couturier, Giroux, Konechny combined for what? 0 goals, right? Yeah. Kevin Hayes finally got a goal. You need these guys to wake up. But I will say this. Going to be harder to score on the Islanders than it was to score on Montreal, as good as Carey Price is.
Yeah, as good as Carey Price is, the Islanders have been, first of all, they buzzed through the Capitals, and their goaltender, Semyon Varlamov, has given up one. He's actually played better than Carter Hart, 1.67 goals against average. Carter Hart's 1.71. The Islanders don't give up a lot of goals. They have kind of a similar system. But Barry Trotz, what more can you say about Barry Trotz? The Capitals made a colossal mistake, in my opinion, getting rid of him, and he turns the Islanders around in 2 short seasons.
Wow, you loved the Capitals that year in the playoffs when Barry Trotz was the coach.
Yeah.
And he got them over the hump like nobody else could before or after. As I think you said before, they got knocked out in the first 2 rounds.
Yes, they did.
In the first round, the last 2 years,
yeah,
when Trotz left. And it was just a straight-up contract dispute. How can you not give the guy who finally won a Stanley Cup with a team you can argue should have won 3 or 4 Cups? They were that good with the great Ovechkin. But, you know, the Islanders snapped him up in a week. A week after he left, they just couldn't come to a contractual agreement with the Caps. And it's the best move of all the moves they've made. Trotz is the best move. He's a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And to take this Islander team and in 2 years make them Stanley Cup contenders, whoever wins the series, I think is a big. I think they win the East and they're a big Stanley Cup or whatever the conference is, and they're a big Stanley Cup contender. But this is going to be a tough series, low scoring. And I'll say it again: it's harder to score on the Islanders than it is to score on Montreal. You need the big guns to step up because they did not step up against the Canadiens.
No, they didn't. And you can catch our podcast. We talked at length about this morning. It's on YouTube, Callis Remarks with Joe Stajak and Steve Callis. Steve, great job as usual, man. We'll catch up with you next weekend.
Always a pleasure.
You too, bub. Talk to you soon. Steve Callis, the great Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline.
Joe Stajak on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
on the Comcast Business Hotline. She's actually Steve Callis's boss. She's a public health professional, has her master's degree in public health, educator and owner and publisher of WestchesterCountyPost.com. She is Janelle Albritton here to talk to us a little bit about the COVID situation as pertains to sports. How you doing, Janelle?
I'm very well. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thanks for coming on.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Just talked to one of your subordinates. He does a nice job, obviously, as usual. We're talking about the COVID situation. A couple new things happened this week. First of all, the NFL is testing their players every day until September 5th. Should they continue every day?
Should they continue testing every day? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, the problem is, you know, Adam Silver had the right idea. You know, the commissioner of the NBA, he specifically noted that they quarantine people between the time of being tested and getting the results of the test. That's a very important factor because you can get infected after the test is done, and then you get a negative, which would be true for the test. But by that point, the person could be infected and actually positive. So it's important to stay on top of the testing and what the status is of the person being tested.
Well, what do you think of this? The NFL, a couple teams out of the NFL, the Chiefs, said they're going to allow 22% of the fans of the capacity of their stadium, Arrowhead, 16 to 17,000 fans in for their games. Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys, are allowed by law up to 50% capacity, which would equate to 40,000 would be half of capacity, 40,000 people, and with standing room, 52,500. What kind of problem does that present?
Well, how much time do we have, my friend? Because the problems depend on the behavior of the people in the stadium. I did read the press, the article that Steve gave me, and it really depends on people's behavior. If masks are required and people refuse to wear masks, then what? If people walk in as a group of 50 and claim they're all family and they can sit together without a mask, then what? Happening with the concession stands. I saw that the people working the concession stands would be provided with PPE. Okay, you know, and training by the CDC. Okay, but, you know, if that's the case, then of course what comes to me as a public health professional is why can't we provide adequate training in PPE for everyone who works in, say, the hospitals? So it's just fraught with a lot of issues and questions. And I don't think that no matter how good the intentions are, people who are going to these games, I do think that there will be COVID flare-ups after, you know, from 2 days to 2 weeks after each of these games.
And that could be an epidemic of epic proportions. How does this country get a handle on the COVID situation? Because to me, you know, we're back to business somewhat, but the COVID problem still exists almost as bad as it did. And in some places, it's getting worse.
Well, you know, my special interest is in international public health. And so I've been very interested in looking at how other countries have responded to this crisis. For example, Japan never had a lockdown. They never had a shutdown. They just told people what's going on, and people pretty much lived their lives close to normal, and they were able to not only flatten a curve, they didn't even really have a spike to flatten. They never had the problems because culturally they understand that an individual's behavior impacts the group, and that the individual's duty is to do the best what's for the group. Right here in America, we've got the cultural value of individualism, and so we see the health behavior going in the opposite direction. And so, unfortunately, people's education on being able to think critically, to look at what the science is saying to you know, evaluate what our president is saying and really run it through their own filters and make their own decisions is really not happening to the degree that I wish it were. And I don't mean to politicize a public health issue, but I'm not the first to do it.
No, you're not, and I don't blame you for doing it. Janelle Allburton, appreciate your insights to the COVID situation. We'll keep an eye on the NFL. If they can complete the season, I think they're crazy letting fans into the games. We don't have a hold on this yet, but certainly we appreciate you coming on and your insights. We'll have you on again.
Could I just say one more thing?
Sure.
I predict between 300 and 5,000 deaths by Christmas, and that is purely based on behaviors and policy decisions, especially not only opening up stadiums to massive crowds, but also the policies in opening up schools where children may not get sick. Maybe only, quote unquote, only 1% of them dies, but they are carriers to take it home to their families and to their friends. And I see a giant second wave happening before Christmas this year. And I hope that I'm wrong.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong, too, but I'm with you, and I appreciate it, Janelle. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll certainly have you on again.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. Janelle Allburton from WestchesterCountyPost.com. She's a health professional, has her master's in public health.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.